Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome back to special number 5 of our coverage of CSUN 2013. I'm Joe Steinkamp.
And I'm Ricky Enger.
You know, we have spoken a lot to a lot of people on the show floor of 2013 CSUN. And of course, if you go back in our podcast archives, you'll run into the talk that Ricky and I did from CSUN 2013. If you haven't heard any of this other coverage, you really need to go over to www.serotalk.com and take a listen to all the stuff that we've brought you so far.
And if you have listened to all the coverage, I bet you're wondering, where is that interview from HIMSS? Where is it? It's right here on the Serotalk Podcast Network.
Coming to you from San Diego, CSUN 2013. I'm Ricky Enger for the Serotalk Podcast Network, and with me today, Jenny Axler, no stranger to the Serotalk Podcast Network. She's been a victim several times. How are you, Jenny?
I'm great, and I'm so excited to be here this time. In fact, I told Joe, I sent him an email, and I said, please come and see me at CSUN. I really want you to come and see me at CSUN, because this year I have so many exciting things to talk about.
Awesome. It's always good when that happens. Well, let's spare no time in getting to all that exciting, cool stuff. I know that you guys have just recently released an updated firmware for the BookSense products. Tell us a little about that.
Yes, our new BookSense firmware has a lot of popularly requested items. We can now open PDFs. We can record in DAISY. We can now text search. So you can actually input text in a similar way to, of course, using a cell phone.
Yep.
And actually search for text and documents. Again, something that's been highly requested. You can now copy files from various drives on your unit to other drives on your unit. So if you have, you know, a USB drive, SD card, and your flash disk, you can actually copy files to and from these devices, or these drives. And so basically you can just use the BookSense to transfer things without using a PC. And, of course, the most important one, you can now set your music as an alarm.
All right.
No, it was actually a highly requested item, too. So you can set an MP3 as an alarm melody so you can wake up to your favorite song in the morning.
Ooh, you can wake up to Gangnam Style.
That's right. So that's basically the BookSense 3.0. It was released in January of this year, and you can get that on our website if you go to the Resource Center and to the page for your specific model, and you can download it and install it and get the new manual and all the huge release note of new features, and there you go.
Very good. And, of course, the BookSense is not the only thing you have going on this year. You've got several note takers, of course, and I think there are some pretty exciting things that have just come to these units. Let's talk a little about it.
Yes.
About that.
We have in our newest 8.0 upgrade, which will probably be released near the end of March, and we're showing and previewing it here. We have YouTube access, so you can actually stream videos from YouTube. We have an Excel viewer. It doesn't yet edit. I know that's going to be the first question people are going to ask.
Yes.
Can I edit? We're working on that, but initially we do have an Excel viewer. It can handle very complex spreadsheets with multiple worksheets and multiple groups of items. It has very advanced navigation features, really intuitive, really easy to use. So I think that will be very good for productivity. We also have RSS. So we now have an RSS reader, and yes, it does podcasts as well. You can download them directly in the program. Very slick, very easy to use. You can import OPML files from other sources. So if you have a podcatcher on your computer and you want to import that in your note taker, no problem. So we also have that. We have Dropbox access.
All right.
Yay, Dropbox. I'm really excited about that. Because there are always files that, I need that on my U2. I need to read that in Braille, you know. So
yep.
It's really great. Now I can just pop it into Dropbox and I can download it from Dropbox. So, and you can upload from the U2 as well. So yes. And then we have a quick browser program. The main purpose of the quick browser is to enhance the web experience of the note taker. This has been one of the problem areas, and we readily admit it. And, you know, it's just the way it goes when websites are updating their content. They're using newer versions of HTML and, you know, all kinds of new controls, form controls and elements that just are not what we're used to dealing with. And so it's becoming more and more problematic for us. So we have decided to create, we now have two browsers on the unit. The Quick browser doesn't deal with JavaScript.
Okay.
But it really strips things down and loads them really, really quick. So like the HymnSync website, it opens in like 1 to 2 seconds. Really
nice.
Fast. Really fast. So this is really, really great in conjunction with our Google search app, because that's one of the things that even frustrated me, is that the Google search app is awesome. It's really great and it's so intuitive and easy to use. But then when you'd go to open one of the web pages,
the links,
it would either take a long time or it would lock up. And so this, using the Quick browser as your default browser with the Google search application, is really, really great. And you can actually change your default browser in the global options, so you can have either one. And it really is going to depend on what you do. If you use a lot of sites with JavaScript, you may still want to use the regular browser. Also, the Quick browser does not yet stream audio, so you want to use the default or the regular web browser for doing that. So we're giving you both so that hopefully the web experience is complete and does everything that you want.
Certainly. So what happens if you choose, say, the Quick browser as your default browser, but then you decide, I'm going to want to go look at Facebook or something like that? If you open the traditional browser with Facebook and you follow links from Facebook, is everything going to stay inside that traditional web browser until you close it down and then launch, say, the Quick browser again?
Yes. The way that it works is you can launch either browser from the web tools menu, which is actually something else I need to talk about. So when you launch a given browser, it does stay in that browser until you exit it. When you set the default browser, what that does is set it as the default browser that is launched when you choose a web link from another application,
sure,
like email or RSS,
yep,
or something like that, or Google search.
Right.
And so, yes, another thing that we have done is we have completely reorganized the menu structure. So we have a lot of additions, as you know, and we need to be able to make room for future programming. So we had to do some recategorization and reorganization, which means a lot of work for me because I have to reorganize all the manuals. But I like it as a rule. I like the menu structure. So that's something else we've done. It will have a whole new look in a way, you know, when you go down and see the, and it might take a little bit of getting used to. The other thing that we've done, though, is to make sure to incorporate quick launch commands for every single program on the unit, including even small things like the wake up alarm and you know, just everything. Every program has a quick launch command. So if there's something that you use often and it's confusing to you where it went, if you memorize the quick launch command, you can open it from anywhere. And then we've also added some enhancements to the file manager. You can now share files over a network. You've been able to access them before and copy things from your BrailleSense to someplace on your network, but now you can actually share files and folders on your network. And you can set local security. You know, obviously, if you're going to be sharing, you're going to want to do that.
Yep.
So we've added that to the file manager. We've added to the media player. If you have one of those MP3s that actually has the lyrics available, you can actually view those.
Nice.
So, and then Twitter, we've added a lot of things too. So you can actually, most of it has to do with lists. So we didn't really have list support, so we have a lot of that now, and just some other enhancements, just making Twitter more powerful and really utilizing what's available in the Twitter API more. And then we've also added full screen view to our word processor. This has been something that's really, really important in education.
Right.
We've always been able to show text on the VGA monitor, but it has been basically what is on the Braille display. Or if you do like a continuous read, you can see it scrolling. But to just have full screen view, we have not thus far had that, so we also have that available. So this is a huge, huge upgrade. Five
Certainly.
New programs and many, many other enhancements, and like I said, with the menu reorganization. So we're really, really excited. Everybody's been working hard, especially the developers, and we're currently in beta with it. We are very, very excited about this.
So we're looking at probably middle or end of March for the firmware release, is that
I'm
right?
I'm going to say end of March, early April, but okay. We really are on schedule this time. It's
great.
Quite amazing, so we're really hoping for that end of March.
So for this update, is that going to be available for free to existing NoteTaker owners, or is there going to be a cost to add that functionality?
There is no charge. Our firmware upgrades have always been free, and they continue to remain so. The one warning that I will give is that there are some programs that will not be available on some of the older models.
Right.
So YouTube and Excel Viewer, for example, are only going to be available on the U2 models.
Okay.
Dropbox, we want to make it available on the older models. So we are trying our best. I cannot guarantee it. And I guess why I'm saying that, and one of the things that I want to reiterate, we are not just making it available on the newer models because we want you to upgrade or anything
sure,
like that.
Yeah.
It's simply a matter of not being able to, the hardware not being able to support it. These programs require more resources than the older note takers have. So it's really, we are committed to supporting as much as we possibly can in all of the hardware that we are supporting for as long as we can do it. So if we don't do it, it's not because we don't want to, it's because we just can't make that happen.
So. Exactly. So for people who don't yet own a model, or for somebody who does want to upgrade to a newer model, let's talk about pricing for the latest units.
Absolutely. We actually have some price drops and price promotions. Our VoiceSense models have dropped to $14.95.
All right.
That's our VoiceSense and VoiceSense QWERTY. Our on-hand, which is our 18-cell model, that price has dropped to $39.95, so just under $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
Our U2 is currently on sale for $55.95. And for the U2 and U2 QWERTY, we do offer trade-ins as well. So if you've got an Apex, an M-Power, and a BrailleSense Plus, or a BrailleSense Classic, you know, give us a call. We do have, depending on the model, there are different trade-in values, but we do offer trade-in values towards the purchase of these units.
Very good. For people who want to learn more about HIMSS and its products, what's the best way to do that?
You can visit our website at www.hims-inc.com. That's HIMSS-INC.com. You can call us at 888-520-4467. Or you can email either sales or support at hims-inc.com. If you have a more technical question, you probably want to send it to support. If you're just looking for sales and information, you know, send it to sales. But any one of those things will get you to us, and we'll be glad to give you any information or help we can.
Good deal. Well, as always, it's been wonderful catching up with you and learning about the latest from HIMSS. I appreciate you taking some time with us, Jenny.
All right. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. For the Sarah Talk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Anger.
Hey, everyone. It's Joe Steinkamp here on the floor of CSUN 2013 with my good friend, Brian Smith from Magnesite. How you doing, my guy?
Great, Joe.
Long time
excellent.
No see. It's about every 365 we see each other? No, I see you at convention, too.
Yeah, we bump into each other one way or the other,
exactly.
Don't we?
Exactly. So you got new stuff. So what you got to tell me about this
year?
Well,
our new stuff this year is our new HD. We're doing it in a 24-inch and a 22-inch. It has your standard zoom, brightness, mode. But then we've built in some extra features like a preset on the zoom. We've got a freeze. Of course, the monitor is all HD, so you get the really huge field of view. Goes up to great size. And then, Magnesite, we're trying to make them affordable, as always. People can't afford these machines. We sell like a 22-inch HD for $26.95. That's a pretty good price, and $27.95 for a 24-inch. So.
And speaking as a visually impaired person yourself, you have the quality of approval by saying you can use it and others can too.
Absolutely. I use it every day. That's the test. Put it on my desk, and can I use it? You know, and that's kind of what makes Magnesite a little different is the president and owner is actually visually impaired and uses the stuff, and, you know, I can really relate to people a little bit better, so. The other thing is we also are the master distributor for the Looky product. They've had the little 3.5-inch, which is a great little product for $4.95, but they're coming out with a brand new one. They're showing it here at the show, 5-inch touchscreen.
Oh!
Also distance viewing.
Okay.
you can take out the handle,
right,
and have a second handle for a battery.
Okay.
What else is unique about it? You can
and
pick
they were
colors.
One of the first to do the handle. The
right.
Lucky was one
right.
of the first ones to kind of show you that you could flip the handle out
right.
and still have something to carry to have that stability.
That's right. And now they're going to have the battery in the handle,
uh-huh.
and you can have replaceable handles.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Okay.
It's touchscreen, which is really unique.
Okay.
You know.
So the user interface is there and you can interact with
right,
it.
Right, right. You just
okay.
touch one side to zoom up and down.
Okay.
You do your different colors. Also does a really good job of distance viewing. It's a really bright screen. It's an HD.
Excellent.
Nice product.
And they haven't announced pricing yet.
No, they haven't. Okay. You know.
But they can go to what website to find out that stuff, Brian?
They can come to MagnaSite, www.magnasite.com.
Okay.
Or call us at 1-800-753-4767.
Excellent.
And that's about it.
Cool.
It's been a good show, as always.
That's even better.
Yeah, what do you think as a show?
I think it's really interesting to see our industry going in so many new ways with so many new things like touch screens and
right.
things you and I wouldn't have imagined. We
right.
would have thought they were science fiction just a couple of years
yeah.
ago.
And a lot of that is, you know, folks due to technology getting cheaper,
right,
affordable, and working. Unfortunately, yeah, some of this stuff was around before, but... Who's going to pay $10,000 for it?
That's the truth. Or how many times we're going to see that demo where somebody goes, in the future.
Yeah. Or the computers just couldn't do, you know, one of the big things is OCR.
Exactly.
That's making, you know, big inroads. And in the past, we didn't have cameras that could handle it or computers that could handle it. So.
Or internet-connected devices.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Right.
Brian, always a pleasure. Good to see you.
Yep. Same, Joe. Thanks for coming. And if anybody's got any questions, let us know. Enjoying the show. And we'll see you next year, I guess.
That or in Orlando, right?
That's true.
At
yeah.
NFP.
Yeah.
Excellent. Brian, thank you for your time. For the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Joe Steinkamp reporting from CSUN 2013.
I'm going to sing a little song here about something I know a lot of people enjoy.
Yeah.
I hope you will too. Here comes CSUN, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes CSUN, and I say, it's all right. CSUN, here it comes. CSUN, here it comes.
Yeah, CSUN. CSUN 2013.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Live from CSUN 2013 in San Diego. And I'm Ricky Enger for the Serotalk Podcast Network. And very happy to be catching up with Matthew Janusauskas from Humanware. Hey, Matthew.
Hi, Ricky.
Great to, again, catch up with you. And you have a device that I want very much. I'll be getting one soon. But for the moment, how about let's talk about the new Victor Reader Stream.
Absolutely. So Victor Reader is, for about 15 years now, has been Humanware's brand of Daisy playback devices. And the family has a desktop player that's called Stratus, which has been available for a couple of years now. And then the portable version is the Victor Reader Stream that we're going to talk about today. And the Stream launched, I believe it was 2007, and has had a very exciting and healthy life. But as most good things, it had to come to an end. Things become obsolete, and we become limited on what we can do with five-year-old hardware, and we have things we'd want to do going forward. So that's how the new Victor Reader Stream was born. We kind of followed the new, shall we say, marketing approach. Me personally, I'm happy to see people getting away from the XLs and the Stream 2s.
Right.
And
so now you just have the
still,
new Victor
It's because
Stream.
It's still a Stream, and that's what
yeah.
you and I are going to talk about. And the whole design philosophy was to make sure that we took everything that people loved about the Stream, and we know that because I was just told, I think it was last week, I finally got a number. I believe we've sold 70,000 Streams since it was launched. So that tells me a lot of people are obviously happy with the product. So we need to make sure that we don't change any of the things they're happy with, and that anything that we do change is truly an improvement. So that took us a fair amount of time to do. But since we're shipping now, obviously we believe we've got it right, and hopefully customers will agree with that. So we'll start with the things that we did maintain. I think that'll give people a good starting place. I think a lot of your listeners will be somewhat familiar with the stream, and then we can talk about the new stuff. Does that work?
That works for me.
All right. So what we maintained is the interface. An interface is the familiar HumanWare bookshelf navigation for the software inside. And then on the outside, we still have the same telephone keypad. Now the stream, as you put it in your hand, and as you did yesterday, it's significantly smaller and lighter. It's almost 30% smaller. I don't have a number, but it's significantly lighter as well. But we were able to do that, but not change the size of the keypad, and not change the size of the keys themselves, and not change the size of the spacing in between the keys. Those are people, because I could have built a smaller stream. That's what I've been letting people know. It's possible, but customers told us if that's the price of doing it, we'd rather you didn't. So we were able to give it, I think, a pretty nice form factor. It has beveled edges now to describe it to people. The original stream had a more squared off or boxy feel to it. So this is a nice, comfortable to hold in my hand or slip into a shirt pocket. So that's what we've kept. And the only interface change on the outside is there is one new key. And it's above key two. It's a round key. So it's in between the go-to and the bookmark. And that's the wireless key. So we can start with that as one of the new features. The interesting thing about wireless is everything else basically I'm going to talk to you about were direct user requests and feedback from stream users. Wireless was really never a user requirement that I received as a product manager. It's something that we think we can do interesting things with, and we plan to do so this year. But just to position it, I didn't have calls and emails from people saying, oh, if you update the stream, please make sure it has wireless. What people asked for are the other things we'll talk about. But for wireless, what we have today is I can connect to my router. I can scan for networks, as you'd expect. I can authenticate. I can type in my wireless key. I can do that on the stream's keypad with the multi-tap approach, like a cell phone.
Yep.
Or if you have a more complex configuration or key, you can also use the free HumanWare Companion to generate a file that will configure the player for you. And you only need to do that once, of course. Mm-hmm. And then once you've done that, anytime you press the new wireless key, the paradigm that we're going with is, you've always had the bookshelf navigation I mentioned. So now what we'll do, and I don't think it's too abstract, is we'll have the concept of a bookcase.
Yep.
So you'll have the standard bookcase, which is the existing bookshelves for podcasts and Daisy books and music. And then the wireless key will toggle to the online bookcase. And that's where we'll put things that I'll talk about in a moment. Right now, whenever you activate the online bookcase, the player automatically goes in the background. If it has access to a configured network, it will silently check the HumanWare servers for any available updates. If it sees one, it will prompt you. Press the play key to download the update, and it'll prompt you again to install the update. So it's completely seamless. No more unzipping, copying files to SD cards. At the same time, the player will also, for U.S. customers, the NLS encrypts their books. They have a protection mechanism that requires an authorization key to be placed on the player. And I believe even Serotex content is protected in the same way.
It is,
so,
yes.
So right now for NLS, the player, at the same time it checks for software updates, it will also check the database based on its serial number. And if you've been approved for an NLS key, it will automatically and silently grab that and install it. So there's nothing for you to do at all.
Very clever.
Really,
no more
simplifies.
KXO files either. Yeah.
So that's the wireless functionality that we're launching with. And then this year, there will be software updates for the stream, and we intend to maintain what customers are familiar with. So software updates for Victor Reader have always been free, and they'll continue to be. And we normally are able to do several updates a year, and I expect to maintain that pace. So that's kind of exciting. So there's some things that you'll see with wireless, and user feedback is really encouraged and welcome, because that's how these decisions are made. We have people expressing interest in internet radio, some more curated content like what Serotek offers. There's interest in that. And then, of course, the obvious book downloads.
Right.
And there's
Bookshare,
a number of
NLS,
sources of that. That's right.
Learning
and
Ally.
Those things all require partnerships on our part, because we need to work, obviously, with the people that have the content. And I think that we're at a good time for that, because some of those you just mentioned, they're all at the stage of offering APIs in different levels of maturity. So those are the tools that we really need. The only exception to that, I guess, is NLS. to my knowledge, they're still not telling anyone exactly what their plans are, and I think at some point they're still saying they don't know what they intend to do for wireless download. Will they use Daisy Online? Will they do something on their own that would complement their smartphone application strategy that they've mentioned for a while now that they intend to do? We don't know, but what I'd like to know as a product manager is some assistance from the users to prioritize those of which partnerships should we focus on first, which are the most valuable. At this conference, Bookshare and Learning Ally have probably been the ones that customers have told me they're the most interested in, but I'd be interested in the Saratech listeners' feedback on that as well.
Certainly.
All right, so the rest of what's new, other than the form factor, we've changed the text-to-speech. That's one of the first things you interact with on the player. We still have the friendly human recorded messages that we've always had in the English version of the product. You still hear the familiar voice, welcome to Victor Reader, and the new prompts we've added. Those are all still human recorded. Customers have told us they still think that's a nice touch. So we maintain that, but the text-to-speech has changed. We used to use Vocalizer from Nuance, and now we're very happy to be including acapella. We've been using acapella speech on the Victor Reader Stratus for some time now, and we've been really happy with it. It's a very high-quality text-to-speech, very human-sounding. And an interesting little maybe technical tidbit for the listeners is we're even able to use a higher grade or a higher quality of acapella speech than so if someone's heard it on the Stratus, which is really quite good. This is the highest quality that acapella offers because we have enough horsepower now inside the new stream to do it. It's like I think it's analogous to the automotive quality, they called it, with Nuance. So it really sounds quite impressive.
And it is very noticeable with the vocalizer voices. You were using one of the lower quality vocalizer voices, I believe, and so it was a little compressed, and you noticed that immediately when you listened to the acapella speech on the new stream. It does sound very high quality. There's no compression. There's no sort of break in quality, and you don't find yourself wishing, I wish this were a little better.
That's right. The vocalizer we had, I'm calling it, it was a functional TTS for
Certainly.
Sure, but for extended listening, no one, including myself, would say that it was something that would be your first choice. So I think users will really be happy with acapella. The player still has two text-to-speech voices on it, just like before.
Yep.
Yes, for the U.S., those are the ones that are there, and then in different markets, we have more voices available to us with acapella also. So in some countries, there's multiple dialects, and sometimes there's a male and a female voice for a given language. You know, a lot of places in Europe will have the local language, and then we'll have U.S. English. So there's different combinations, and somebody can change that at any point on the player. It's easy to do.
Very good.
All right, so then kind of going hand-in-hand with text-to-speech, if I probably had to choose the number one top-rated user request was an improved speaker on the product. And I kind of put that in the same category. The speaker that the original stream had was certainly a functional speaker. As long as the player was sitting next to you on a table and you were listening in a quiet environment. Anytime any of those elements changed, it became a lot less usable. If you took a few steps away from the player, if there was any competing noise in the room or traffic, or if you're trying to make your lunch and listen to your book, it really wasn't practical with the built-in speaker. You had to either use earphones or an external. Now the speaker that's here, you wouldn't appreciate it in this environment, but the stream is significantly improved. The audio output it's capable of is quite good. It's easily able to fill a normal-sized room at home with normal ambient background noise. You'll have no problem listening to your book while you do your make your lunch or do dishes or something. So I think that's a really nice enhancement.
Indeed. Well, talking about books, one of the things that has been a little difficult, and we're hoping that it's better, but I do have to ask, there is a situation with Audible books. So Audible stopped supporting third-party players, and as all new players are released, they're facing this issue of not being supported by Audible necessarily. With that said, you did an interview with Brian Hartgen just before the Victor's release, and at that time, Audible was saying pretty much, no, we're not going to do that. After hearing this a few people wrote letters to Audible, contacted them on Twitter, indicating why this was a bad idea to discontinue support for these third-party players. And someone at Audible may have listened, although it may have been an intern taking over the Twitter account that day, because Audible did say on Twitter, we will have support for Audible soon, but again, this is social media and you can't take everything at face value. Do you have any updates from Audible themselves about progress in terms of supporting third-party players?
Yes. Basically, everything that you said is accurate, and that's the official status is basically still there from what we talked about with Brian.
Okay.
What's happened is, I guess the only thing that I would characterize a little differently is it, even when I talked to Brian, it wasn't so much that we were sure they weren't going to. We were in discussions with them even at that time. It's just quite frankly, there was little progress being made.
Right.
So discussions are certainly good, but progress is better.
Yes.
So, and we knew the reality was, in Audible, they really are good to work with. They're good people, and they appreciated the situation. However, when one's business model changes, and that's essentially what it was about, there's certain limitations. So our discussions have continued, and I personally believe that the difference is exactly what you said, and we tried to prepare Audible. We said, look, we know there's a significant percentage of our user base that we know are paying and happy Audible customers. They would like to continue to be. HumanWare would like to continue to support them as your customers and to support you to do business with them. And they said, yes, yes, and then that's nice. And then the phone calls started.
Uh-huh.
And then the response to the internal discussions started to change. So it's not my place to speak for Audible, obviously. What I can tell you is I think that it's safe to say that users should expect some type of more formal announcement to come in the short term. I think that Audible has received the message from the consumers. I think they received it from us as a manufacturer, but the message they really needed to receive, I think they have done so from the consumer, and I think that there will be some news to share shortly from both HumanWare and Audible, and I think it's important that it happens that way.
Certainly.
So that there is no more ambiguity, because yeah, there were the tweets you mentioned, and I also saw for myself Audible's customer service giving us a similar message via email responses.
Mm-hmm.
So if Audible's saying that, I'm comfortable to say what I've said to you now, at least until we are able to release some type of press release or announcement. And I don't think that that's not years away, and maybe even not months away. I think it's in the short term. So stay tuned for what I hope is really good news.
Absolutely. We will certainly hope for that. One last thing I'd like to talk about before we go, and that is the new recording capability on the Victor Stream. In the past, you have been able to record notes and things like that, and it was in a format that wasn't necessarily usable once it was off the stream without some conversion, and it was also recording strictly in mono. Let's talk about how things have changed in terms of recording with the Victor.
Absolutely. So you're correct. It was a bit of an unusual format that we were using for the recording on the original stream, and where that came from was it's a really amazing codec, and not to get technical, but it's just the method in which the audio is compressed. And the reason we chose that one originally is it is the same one that NLS uses for their book production, and it's extremely high fidelity even at high compression rates, and it gives you really nice compact small file sizes. So there's a lot of good about AMR wideband, it's called, and it gives you 3GP file extensions. But the issues are what you mentioned. It's once you try to export it to another environment, there's conversion that's required, and that's just not a good user experience. So our interim solution was we offered something called the soft pack for the original stream. So for those that needed to record in a different format natively, as well as a few other value-added features, MP4, iTunes files, unprotected EPUB documents, DOCX files for some of them, you could purchase the soft pack and enable those features on the original stream. What we've done now with the new stream is we've included all of that in the base software. There is no more soft pack to purchase. So you have inherited the recording functions that you mentioned, as well as the others that I mentioned. With a few changes, you can now record in compressed MP3, a few variants of it actually, or uncompressed wave at full 44,000 hertz if you want to, if you have enough space and you want the highest quality possible, and connect your stereo microphone now, which you can do, and there you go. So you have a lot more options for recording, and we've even included Line-M support now. That it wasn't a popular request, but it made sense to do it while we were changing the hardware.
Yeah,
so you can connect this to your satellite receiver at home and kind of have a nice accessible DVR interface to use to record something from a source like that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to cover for the listeners before we say goodbye for now?
Yeah, I think the couple other features that were requested that we've delivered. We've discontinued the standalone AC connector. So now the device is charged via micro USB. It's on the bottom of the device. So data transfer and charging is done the same way. So I was able to do that on my airplane ride here, which is kind of nice, finding a USB port on your seat and charge while you listen. And there's a clock now on the player. There's a real-time clock. It sounds like a small thing, but it was requested a lot, and it gives us some more opportunities on the technical side. One request that we received from time to time, it wasn't a big request, but it did come up regularly, was some DRM protection schemes like Overdrive. For public libraries, their DRM is time-based, and we would have never been able to support that on the original Stream hardware. I'm not sure that we will on the new Stream, but the point is the pieces are in place if we need to support them or someone using a similar mechanism. I think those are the highlights. The battery, I guess, is the last piece. We used to have a separate battery door and then the battery inside. So now it's an integrated piece. It just there's a little latch on the back you raise with your finger, and the whole battery pulls away, snaps back on. And it provides, I don't remember if I said it at the beginning, we maintain the battery life of the original Stream. And that was a significant engineering challenge with the device being so much smaller now.
Sure.
And we still provide the 15-hour battery life, so we're pretty happy with that. But I think that's in a nutshell, shall we say. We started shipping devices last week, I believe it was. And they're going quickly. So.
Excellent. So for people who do want to get their hot little hands on one of these, where is the best place to go and order one?
You can order them online. It's probably the fastest way to do it, because you can do that at the time of your choosing. You can do that at humanware.com.
Yep.
And I believe it's, I'm not a salesperson, but I'm pretty positive that it's free shipping if you order it online.
Excellent.
Or they can certainly order by phone, and Humanware is... It's available toll-free at 800-722-3393.
And the price on that?
Save the best for last.
Uh-huh,
we spent all this time talking about enhancements and improvements.
Well, you've got to make them really want it, right?
And the price is essentially the same. I mean, there's been a few price changes along the way. There's been promotions and things.
Sure.
But from the longest term price for Stream has been $359, and the new Stream is $369.
Very, very nice. Yes, I remember $359 back in 2007. So.
One other slight change is I should mention is what comes with the player.
Mm-hmm.
It still comes with the two USB cables as always. So you have your long one for connecting to a PC,
right,
or now also connecting to the supplied AC USB charger. We supply one, however, there's nothing special about it. You can certainly use your iPhone charger or whatever else you have. It's standard. The short USB cable is still included, so I'd connect to my micro USB for thumb drives or directly to an NLS cartridge to copy it across. That comes with the player. We no longer supply a carry case that goes all around the device with like a flap over the front like the original had.
Mm-hmm.
Now what we've done is the player comes with I call it like a silicone skin, very similar to a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
So the outer edges are covered. The entire back surface is covered by a nice rubber, and the front keypad is exposed. So it's a nice level of protection without adding bulk. And then if you want more than that, people that want an integrated belt clip or more thorough protection,
right,
we've still partnered with Executive Products like we've always done, and they've done a really nice job. They've redesigned a new case for the new Stream. And it covers the entire device. It has a zippered pocket for your SD cards. It has a nice magnetic closure. They got rid of the obnoxious Velcro that we all want to go away. So that's available as an optional accessory for the player.
Great. Can you get that whenever you order the player, or should you buy that from... Okay.
You can do it either way. You can order that at the same time as your stream if you know then you want one, or you can later you can order it from us standalone, or you can order directly from Executive Products. The price is the same. They're a great partner to work with.
Very good. Well, Matthew, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about the new product. We're all very excited to see it, and we wish you the best of luck with the release.
Thanks very much, Ricky. It's always a pleasure to talk to the Serotech audience, and I hope to do it again soon.
Good. For the Serotech Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Unger.
Joe Steinkamp here on the floor of CSUN 2013, and I'm here with Gordon from Ambutech. Gordon, good to see you.
Hi, it's good to see you, Joe.
Absolutely. So let's get an idea of how these wonderful canes make it into the hands of wonderful users.
Well, Ambutech canes are all made in Winnipeg, Canada. We use parts primarily from the United States. All of our plastic resins, our shock cords, that kind of thing, the handles, everything are all made in the United States. We make canes out of three basic types of materials. We make aluminum, we make graphite, and we make fiberglass canes. Within that, we have probably 12 different tips for each type of cane.
Wow.
We also make telescopic canes. We have a new product called a premium cane. It was developed for the European market. It's almost as taut as a rigid cane, and yet it folds down into 4, 5, or 6 sections.
Cool.
So that's something that's new within the last year. We have a couple of new tips this year. There's a flex tip, which has a rubber gasket, so it's a little bit, it absorbs some of that shock that you get when you're walking along.
Yeah.
So that's what Ambutech does, is we try to innovate as much as possible, and all of our ideas come from our customers. So what we like is when customers have a problem, they contact us either through our website or at our 1-800 number and just tell us how we can fix your problems.
Fantastic. Now, so, one of the first times I ever used a carbon fiber was Ambutech. And so you guys are always innovating, like you said. So out of curious, what kind of things are a little different for Europeans versus what customers in the United States or Canada might look for in a cane?
Well, in North America, it's always a white cane with a red bottom.
Mm-hmm.
In parts of Europe, it's all white.
Okay.
They very rarely have red on a cane unless it's for deafblind.
Gotcha.
But in some jurisdictions, they will have blue stripes. Some are yellow.
Wow.
They also tend to use the roller tip almost exclusively. The rolling ball tip, sorry.
Right.
And that's because of all the cobblestones and that kind of
thing.
So it tends to flow over those imperfections relatively easily.
That's fantastic.
The other thing about Europe is they tend to spend a lot more money on canes because they have a lot more government funding.
Sure, and more walking, too, because you're talking about a lot more societies that may have tubes or other rail or stuff like that.
Correct.
Unlike Texas, where we believe that cars are a right, and
everybody in North America believes that.
Not just there? Okay.
No.
Good to know. Well, I imagine up in Canada, there's some wide open spaces, so that might be true
and
as well.
We all take the same thing, that driving is a right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing you'll notice about Europe is they're, I think, a lot further ahead than we are when it comes to tactile surfaces for guiding blind and low vision people.
Right.
Whenever you step out of a train or a plane or anything, there are grooved sections in the ceramic tile that will lead you. And that's something that we lag behind on in Canada. I don't know about in the United States.
No, I got you. No, in certain places, yes, in certain places. Depends how progressive the city you are in and what they're up to. So, and advocates. You have to be an advocate in any situation.
Yes, that's true.
And that's what you were talking about with the feedback you get from the customers. So where can they leave that feedback for you guys?
Okay. Just let me get our 1-800 number.
Okay.
Is 1-800-561-3340. And our website is www.ambutech.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thanks, Joe.
And for the Serotech Podcast Network, live from CSUN 2013, I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Looking for a cross-platform solution to quickly convert printed materials and PDFs into text, MP3, or DAISY formats? Check out Serotech's DocuScan Plus. For just $299, use DocuScan Plus on your Windows or Mac computer. Store documents in the cloud for easy retrieval and access them from anywhere. For more information, visit www.docuscanplus.com.
Well, if you've listened to all four of these specials so far and you've stayed with us through special number five, well, we're rounding the home stretch and coming in. But, you know, we might just stop and read a book or so before we actually do finish.
Yes, and I can read it right in my browser. Or so says Paul from Bookshare.
Live from sunny San Diego, it's CSUN 2013, and the Saratok Podcast Network is bringing you coverage from CSUN 2013. I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm catching up with Paul Anderson from Bookshare. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Ricky. I'm doing great.
Awesome. So Bookshare has some pretty exciting things going on, as always, and I'm a huge book lover, so I always have to stop by and get news on the latest and greatest. First of all, you have recently introduced some easier ways to read from the web, right? So now you can you don't even have to download a book, per se. You can just read it right in your browser. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we're calling this the Bookshare Web Reader. And basically, anytime you see a book listed in search results, or you're looking at a book on the site or on your bookshelf, that's a new feature that we'll get to. In almost all cases, there will be a link that says Read Now. And that will open up in your in a new browser tab a web-based reader with your basic navigation and most of the features of a Daisy reader. And on most browsers, that will just work with your screen reader. So it means if you're a logged-in Bookshare user, you can just access your own books directly in the browser. On Chrome, we have a plugin that takes it a step further. If you install the Chrome extension, then when you click the Read Now link, it will open up as a web-based reader that actually has its own text-to-speech with speed settings and voice settings and even word highlighting as you go, if that's something that you need. So in Chrome, it's a full-fledged talking book little application.
Well, you certainly answered one of my questions because I was curious. I had seen that it was optimized for Chrome, but I wasn't sure quite how. What text-to-speech is being used in the Chrome plugin?
Chrome now has a TTS API. So this is something that was developed at Google to have a platform-neutral way of utilizing what languages are available on the system. It's not as far-reaching as they'd like it to be just yet. So for example, if you're on Mac OS, it has a voice it can use, but it can't access all the different voiceover voices. They're still getting to that. Windows, it does better. Windows, it's able to at least see the default voice that you have set for Windows and use that. So that's going back and forth between Google and the various TTS vendors to basically make all of their engines scriptable so that it can be run from the browser. But Chrome is farther along in this, having this API than any of the other browsers are, and they're trying to get it made into a standard. So that's why we were able to add that feature for Chrome.
When you developed Web Reader, what sort of use case did you have in mind? Is it the idea that somebody could perhaps be in a library and using a library computer to sit down and read something for research rather than needing to unpack it on that public machine? Is that sort of what you were thinking?
That is exactly it. I mean, you basically described sort of our principal scenario. Also, an example is a student who is at school or at home, has access to a web browser, doesn't have access to specialized software or hardware. I mean, we're not going to be able to give as good of an experience as you will get from specialized software or hardware.
Certainly.
But we are, you know, trying to be hot on their tails. We're going to keep improving this and sort of guarantee a minimum level of access for anyone who needs an accessible book.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about something that's going to help some of us be a little more organized with our books. You guys have just released capabilities for using bookshelves.
Right. So bookshelves, that's what we're calling. It's really like favorites or bookmarks. You can make a list of, basically lists of books, whether it's just a list of these are my favorites or the ones that I currently want to keep track of, or you can make several. You can name them. They're all on a page called My Bookshelves. And so maybe you have you know, the list that you need for your classes, you have your summer reading, you have your books that you want to be able to refer to your friends, which makes it sound like we have a feature we don't quite have yet for most people, but there's an added feature on this for educators. As you may know, at Bookshare, schools and educational institutions can sign up for organizational accounts where teachers and other sponsors can download books on behalf of students with disabilities. Well, those sponsors can make their own bookshelves that they can then share with students who have Bookshare memberships. So when you're signed in as Bookshare membership and you go to My Bookshelves, you'll also see the bookshelf that your teacher has shared with you. And you can download all those books, even if they're from the NIMAC, which normally, up until now, it wasn't legally possible for a student to self-serve a NIMAC textbook. Now they can if their teacher puts it on a bookshelf and shares it with them. So this takes the burden off the teachers of having to download books for their students. They can basically make a list as a bookshelf, assign it to the students, and let the students self-serve.
That's incredibly convenient, actually, very useful. For those who want to read on a mobile device, some people may already know about this, but for those who don't, let's talk about what's available for iOS and Android for reading your Bookshare books.
So iOS has Read2Go. It's been on our App Store for more than a year now. It uses high-quality voices from Acapella, I believe.
Yes.
And it's not free. It's for the licenses, it's $19.99, but you know, you buy it once, you have it forever. It logs you into your Bookshare membership. It actually has its own bookshelf feature of keeping track of books that you want to download and store. You can search Bookshare directly from the app. And so download books that then it will read to you with the acapella voice.
Yep.
And then on Android, we have Go Read, which is more or less exactly as I described. It's free, and it uses Android's native text-to-speech. And it works on Ice Cream Sandwich and Up.
Awesome. Well, before we go, let's tell the listeners where is the best place to go and learn all about Bookshare and get signed up.
The best place to go, so bookshare.org is our website, bookshare.org, and you should find a link right near the beginning of the page, sign up, and that will get you started, whether you're a private individual, an educator wanting to sign up on behalf of students. And also, if you are a student in the United States, we're still operating under the OSEP grant, and so your access is free. Schools and educational organizations almost all can get free memberships, and if you want to get an individual membership, just send your student status in. Once we verify that, that gets you a year's free membership that can be renewed if you're still a student at the end of the year.
Very good. Well, Paul, I want to thank you for taking the time to tell us all about Bookshare, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for coming by.
We're certainly
glad we're getting books out to people.
Oh, yes, that's what it's all about. For the Saratalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Anger.
Live from the floor of CSUN 2013, this is Joe Steinkamp with my good friend Derek Bove. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Joe. Nice to see you again.
We could probably talk all day about Xbox and games and all sorts of stuff, but I thought I would talk about these products you have that you brought to CSUN, like ZT for Mac. Please tell me more.
Yeah, we're really excited. We finally have a version of Zoom Text available on the Mac.
Okay.
Right now we're focusing on magnification, so it's got all of the magnification features that you're used to on the PC side of things, the ability to magnify up to 36 times with nice smooth text. Zoom Text Mac will also smooth images on your computer screen. And you've got all the enhancements like color filtering, pointer, cursor, and focus enhancements that are present in Zoom Text. So,
awesome.
We just released this product about a month ago. And
what's the price point on that, bro?
Price point is $299.
Wow.
If you already own Zoom Text, we've got a limited introductory offer until March 15th. It's only $99 if you own Zoom Text.
Oh, fantastic.
And after that point, it'll be $149. So still a really good deal.
For an upgrader.
For an upgrader, someone that's got both Windows and Mac platforms.
That makes a lot of sense. Is the UI very similar? So someone can actually kind of sort of, if they know the ZT UI really well, they can kind of graph on to what's going on with the Mac? Because really that's one of the hardest things when jumping from one platform to another is, where's that button? Or how
right.
is that?
Yeah, it's a little bit different on the Mac. We wanted to make it look more like a Mac application.
Oh, no. So did you put felt, or does it look like leather? Or
Right?
What skeuomorphic things did you do?
We didn't do anything too extreme.
Okay.
Instead of having...
It looks like an eye chart.
Yeah, right. Instead of having the rectangular toolbar, like on the Windows side, we have what's called a preferences panel,
okay,
which is broken up by tab, kind of like tabs of features in Zoom Text on the
PC. So you stayed to the Apple coherence of...
Exactly.
So of the preferences pane, just like you would if you were in, say, iTunes or even some type of thing in the Finder.
Yep, exactly right. If you were to look at some of the settings options on the Mac, like even the accessibility dialog, it looks like that.
With universal access.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Good. Well, then if you're learning those systems, then that will carry over.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you're familiar and native to the Mac and you've never used Windows Zoom Text, then it will feel natural to you in your environment.
Exactly right. Yeah, and there's very simple hotkeys that we have as well. That
you know what I mean? Not four keys, like Command, Shift, Option, left click, right click, point my nose to the sky?
Unfortunately not. We got away from the four-fingered hotkeys.
Yes, just to do a right click, yeah.
And we made sure that it didn't get in the way of other applications, especially VoiceOver, with our hotkeys. And speaking of VoiceOver, to bring up your next question, you can use the two products together.
Okay, cool.
So you can run Zoom Text Mac and VoiceOver together.
Together.
We haven't added any specific support for it. And there's some instances where VoiceOver doesn't exactly tell us where they are, and we can't move the screen to it.
Right.
But for the most part, someone that's using VoiceOver can run with Zoom Text and get about 80% of the events that VoiceOver is navigating to.
And you could go into Universal Access and say, follow the focus rather than the VoiceOver cursor. And so you could do some things to mimic. Yeah.
Yep.
So that makes a lot of sense. Just out of curiosity, with all that kind of working the way it does it have a situation where it has to be Mountain Lion or Lion? Or what's the latest...
Lion or Mountain Lion are the two required operating systems.
Okay.
We also have hardware requirements listed on our website, which tell you what model, year, and make the machine needs to be in order to support Zoom Text Mac.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it is pretty hardware intensive, so you're going to
need... So is a Retina display.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, on a battery.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So you're going to need a little pretty newish machine to run it appropriately.
Right. But that's not the only thing that's new. What else is going on here at AI Squared?
We've got two other products that we're showing here. One is Zoom Text for Windows 8.
Right.
So we've been working on our Windows 8 support, and we're scheduling a spring release, probably late April, early May.
Right.
So supporting the platform is one thing, but we're also adding some new features, one of which is touchscreen support. So you can actually touch on screen, and whatever you tap, if it's a control, will activate. You can scroll your magnified view by touch, and there will also be gesture commands to do things like change your magnification level or start the reading tools.
Okay.
A couple new things too. We've got some nice visual transition effects.
Okay.
So when you're magnifying in and out, instead of jumping each level, it's going to kind of glide into that magnification. Your enhancements will fade in and out as you turn them on or off or switch them. And the way that we're working in Windows 8 also means a little bit better performance. We're utilizing the video card hardware in a more unique way than we were previously.
So I have an excuse to get that $900 NVIDIA card for other things than... Okay, never mind. Anyway, so support. That's good. All right. Yeah, I like that.
So, you know, basic example is sometimes you might be running a YouTube video with Zoom Text and notice that it's a little choppy. It's not running at 30 frames per second.
Right.
Now you won't have that issue. Full motion video and hardware-accelerated applications won't be bogged down by Zoom Text.
Right, so it'll offload and it'll start to use multi-core a little better.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Makes perfect sense. Is there any truth to the rumor of giving out AI Squared handy wipes for promotion of the gesture control?
The rumors are unfortunately untrue.
Untrue? Okay. Well, I've got gesture support, but now my screen is all messy.
Exactly.
You should have in the manual, do not eat with Reese's peanut butter cups or something like that.
Right, right.
Excellent.
And one other new product that we have that we're going to be releasing shortly after the show is called Zoom Text Image Reader, which is a scan and read product. It works with Zoom Text or as a standalone product. So if you're using a blindness screen reader like Window Eyes or JAWS, you can still use it with Image Reader. comes with one of two different document cameras. One is A3 or letter sized, and the other is A4 or tabloid sized.
Gotcha.
You can snap a picture, print a material, have it read back to you with the same human sounding neo speech voices that are in Zoom text. You can also export it out to a number of different document formats like PDF or Word, and it will even process image files like bitmap or JPEG picture files, an image that you've copied to the clipboard or your screen. So if you've got some sort of image that has text in it that you want to read, you can actually capture that information and OCR it with Image Reader.
Cool. So it sounds like lots of innovation and lots of new stuff over in Vermont.
Yeah, a busy year for us.
I'm telling you. And where can people keep up with all this wonderful stuff like the Zoomed In blog?
You're going to want to go to our website of AISquared.com. There's a link for the blog at the top right-hand side of the tab navigation. And you can just go there or go to AISquared.com/blog. But definitely check out our homepage for all the new information on our products.
And videos and promotions and all sorts of stuff going on there at AI Squared.
Yes, indeed.
Derek, good to see you, my friend.
Nice to see you too, Joe.
Stay out of the respawn cycles, all right?
Thank you. You too.
All right. For San Diego's own CSUN 2013, this is Joe Steinkamp for the Serotalk Podcast Network.
Live from sunny San Diego at CSUN 2013 for the Serotalk Podcast Network, I'm Ricky Enger, and I'm speaking with Paul Albano from Canon. Welcome, Paul. I think this is the first time that we've spoken with you on the Serotalk Podcast Network, and Canon is certainly representing well here at CSUN. You have a rather interesting unit that has some features such as voice recognition and Braille and some other things. I'll let you talk about that in just a bit. But can you first talk about generally what caused Canon to decide to make these accessible units, and what can you say about Canon's general feelings for accessibility?
Sure, thank you, Ricky. It's very nice to meet you. And Canon is glad to be here at CSUN 2013. We've been a long time participant, both as a sponsor and as an exhibitor. We're actually sponsoring a print-on-demand kiosk area upstairs on the third floor where attendees can basically use our devices to print their conference materials. We've created a customized interface which will allow for people to easily access their materials. We're also helping CSUN in their goal to be a green conference. So by making these materials available on demand, basically helps them reduce the amount of paper that they need to consume by only, you know, printing the quantity that they need at the point in time which the user needs to access them. But you know, here at Canon, you know, we're driven by the corporate philosophy of Kyosei, which means living and working together for the common good, and that's truly reflective of the solutions that we have here with our office copier devices that we're showing. You know, for more than 30 years, we've been addressing the accessibility needs of people with disabilities and the senior workforce. And our solutions that we're showing here are built on this foundation so that everyone can benefit from Canon's technology and all that it can offer. These solutions are specifically designed for the workplace. So professional success in the workplace requires technology that can be easily accessed by everyone, including those with disabilities. So that's why we've taken the lead in developing these solutions that help simplify the use of office products for all people, regardless of their ability.
What you've done is rather impressive, and I've just been taking a look at one of the many things that you offer. The copier has Braille labels, I think some low vision features, voice recognition. Why don't you talk a little about this? What's the model, and
sure.
What can you do with it?
Yes, so this is the ImageRunner Advance C5200 series, and this machine, it's a copier, it's a printer, it's a scanner, it's a fax machine, it's a color printer, all in one. So you're able to combine multiple functions into one compact unit. It's equipped with a number of features which are, you know, designed to provide for ease of use from a standard configuration, but we've also added some options here to make the machine more accessible, especially for folks with both low vision as well as mobility issues. So we've got a Braille label kit on the control panel as well as other areas on the machine which will help people identify certain key components. We've got a slide and tilt display. So if a person is in a wheelchair and they cannot access the control panel, the control panel will actually slide and tilt so that they can easily access it from a seated position. We also have a remote operated software kit which allows a user to access the control panel from a network connected PC. The voice guidance and voice operation features are pretty unique. Basically, the user can guide themselves through the UI or through the user interface simply by navigating through the hard keys. So they can easily perform copy stapling features. They can do double-sided printing. They could finish. They could staple documents either by commanding the machine using the hard keys by using a speaker-driven system here, or by entering voice commands through a microphone. So it's very easy to use, very easy to operate, and again, it provides access to some of the common features on the machine for folks with disabilities.
If a business is interested in investing in one of these products, what's the best way to find out what kinds of things Canon has to offer and purchase that?
Well, I mean, the easiest thing is they could visit our website, which is www.usa.canon.com. They can call 1-800-OK-CANON, and what they'll do is you will have access to some of our solutions on our website, and you can easily locate a Canon dealership in your local area that can supply you with more information about how to acquire one of these solutions.
When a business is looking at something like this, do they need to ask specifically about accessibility? Are there some models that are built specifically for that, or how would a business best go about making sure that what they're getting is accessible to as many people as possible?
Well, I mean, all of our machines are built with this universal design concept, so they're quite accessible from their initial design. But the solutions that we're showcasing here specifically, it's the ImageRunner Advanced series. So I would ask users who may be interested in this type of system to kind of ask for those products. And they can contact either OK Canon, or they can go through our website and we'll put them in touch with a local Canon supplier.
Well, again, what Canon is doing is extremely impressive, and it's great to see a mainstream company understand that providing products that are workable for as many people as possible makes good business sense. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we go?
No, that's great. We're glad to be a part of CSUN 2013, and we're getting a lot of great feedback from the customers and from the users. So it's a great event for Canon. We're happy to be here.
Thank you again, Paul.
Thank you, Ricky. Very nice to meet you.
For CSUN 2013, I'm Ricky Enger.
Well, that's just about gonna do it, as if we couldn't pack any more into five specials. We have just come to the end of our coverage of CSUN 2013. And you know what? It's not really the end, because we'll still have some coverage coming up from the National Federation of the Blind Convention, American Council of the Blind, and some other events in 2013. So by no means is this the end of our interview segments.
No, indeed. We would like to thank Independent Living Aids, www.independentliving.com, for sponsoring this year's CSUN coverage.
And we'd like to thank everyone for their time on the floor of CSUN 2013 for talking to SPN. It was a pleasure to bring you all this coverage. And remember, if you want to find any of the links to the people that we spoke to, you want to head on over to www.cerotalk.com. That's www.cerotalk.com. Rate us on iTunes. Catch us on Twitter, twitter.com/cerotalk, CEROTALK. And of course, you can also contact us at the information that you'll hear at the end of the podcast via Patrick.
And as always, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Cerotalk. Visit us at www.cerotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@cerotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android Market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.